They've added some distances as well. You can do a marathon. I think you can now, Greg, do a 50 miler and a 50K out there. I think they've maybe added even more.
Not sure.
2024 will be the first year for the 100 miler. And I'll jump in and say for the last 3 years, I've helped host one of the aid stations out there, and we'll be out there again. So definitely a great race to support.
That was my last bullet point, was you get to see Coach Greg at the aid station.
We have the best party there.
They do, yes.
Hi, this is Lauren Statema, and I'm a big-ass runner, originally from Washington State, but now enjoying the mild winters of North Carolina. Welcome to the Big Ass Runner Podcast, where we entertain and encourage trail runners from all over the world, including Latvia. We're huge in Latvia. And now, here are your inspiring, wise, and ruggedly handsome hosts, Jeff Harrell.
Well, thank you, Lauren. Excellent job. That was a fairly OG intro. That's from year one. So thank you, Lauren, for that amazing intro. And as Lauren said, my name is Jeff Harrell. This is the Big Ass Runner Trail Running Podcast, episode number 164. Great show for you today. We have, in segment number one, Coaching Corral. We've got the coaches back, Coach Melody and Coach Greg. And we're going to talk about a topic I think is very popular. You want to listen to as you're thinking about your racing calendars and you want to pursue perhaps some big goals or some different races. We're going to share our favorite races. So if you're looking for a race to sign up for this fall, next year, whatever the case may be, you will want to listen to segment number one. In segment number two, I love a good trail running documentary, and Timmy Time told me about one I was not aware of, and we're going to talk about that. This is a running documentary I thoroughly enjoyed, and I think you should check out as well, and it has a tie to the Big Ass Runner. What could that be? We'll find out in segment number two. But first, have a question. When you go out for a run, be it the trails or even just maybe a track or your neighborhood, do you take some form of self-protection with you? You know, we had Jody from Go Guarded on the show, and she talked about the Go Guarded ring, and they've got some really cool products. Safety on the trail, very, very important, becoming even more so. I read a story, a tragic story about this just happened this last week. Amy Adamson, 47-year-old from Derby, Kansas, was likely killed by a grizzly bear attack on Buttermilk Trail. This is near Yellowstone Park. She went out for a run, and, you know, fortunately, I feel like encounters with the wild, and you got to respect the wild, and you're in their environment. Usually those kinds of things are rare, but they do unfortunately happen from time to time. And this happened to Amy while out for a run. And it just got me thinking, because apparently they said she didn't have bear spray or a whistle or anything with her as she ran. And again, usually that's okay, because these things tend to be fairly uncommon, thankfully, but they do unfortunately happen. And it made me think about, do you run with, especially in that kind of environment, but just any time, because you never know when you might encounter something or somebody, unfortunately. This happened to me this past week on a training run. I was actually just running through my neighborhood, and quite often I'll come across someone walking a dog, and the dogs are usually friendly and nice. Sometimes they growl or bark, but they're on a leash, and so it's no big deal. And this happened. I'm running up, and there's a lady with a dog, and, you know, we kind of wave, and the dog is not a fan of the Clydesdale, apparently, because the dog, this is just a little smallish, aggressive, however, dog, started barking, growling, and charging towards me on the leash. Well, the leash does not hold. The collar comes off. Dog is running towards the Clydesdale. And the dog is intending on some Clydesdale damage. No doubt. And I'm about halfway through my run and I'm a big target. And apparently the Clydesdale is a prey for the small muddy dog that this dog was. And of course the lady was trying to get the dog back and yelling its name. I don't remember what the name was because I was doing my best to avoid the sharp teeth of this dog, which I did because of my incredible dexterity. Who knew a Clydesdale could move so fast? And so she finally grabbed the dog. Dog did not make any kind of contact with me, fortunately. But it could have. And I thought, well, what if that was a bigger dog? What if the dog had made its way all the way teeth to bone or leg or something? So it kind of shook me a little bit, continued my run. And literally half a mile later, same thing happened. This is, again, a smallish dog on a leash, just wanting to tear the Clydesdale apart. Fortunately, the leash did hold. The collar did hold, and so the dog could not find its way to me. But same thing, and I'm thinking, man, do I need to carry something just in case? You just never know. It's a last resort, but at the same time, I think an important one. So it just begged the question, do you run with something, a go-guarded ring? Do you carry mace? Do you have a knife, I guess, if you're out in bear country, are you carrying bear spray, a horn or a whistle? Do you do that? It just seems to me, as we read stories like what happened to Amy, more and more important. And you hear stories of attacks, unfortunately, too. So that's my question I'm posing to you. Let me know. Shoot me an email. Shoot me a note. Would love to hear. I think I'm going to start wearing my go-guarded ring just in case. You never know. You never know. Well, with that, let's get going on episode number 164, The Big Ass Runner.
Well, howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Coaching Corral. So mosey on in, watch your step, and stay a while.
Well, welcome back to the Coaching Corral. We are here with Coach Greg. Coach Greg, welcome back.
Hello. Glad to be back.
And Coach Melody. Coach Melody, welcome back as well.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Very excited about this episode of Coaching Corral because everyone that I talk to, you know, races are a big deal. Everyone's talking about races. Which race are you signed up for? Let's go check out your ultra sign up, see what people are signing up for. And a lot of times I think people are like, hey, I need to learn about new races. What are great races to go to? So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about each of our top three favorite races, and we'll talk about why. And we'll hit some honorable mentions as well, because I think there's a lot of races that we've been to. We can't pack them all in our top three, so we'll mention some other ones as well. And I'm going to start with you, Coach Greg, because you're about to head to a cool race. We're talking to you on a Tuesday. You're about to head to Colorado for an awesome race as well. Tell us about that race, first of all, and then tell us what your number three, what would be your third favorite race is.
Yeah, I am headed to High Lonesome 100 in Salida, Buena Vista area of Colorado in the Sawatch. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Mountain range. So it's a race I've been trying to get into for the last few years. And I didn't think I'd get in because they are very diverse. And now it's heavily weighed toward women to get in. So I was like, wow, I'm really losing my chances. But I got in and super excited. And if we did this topic a week later, I might have a different favorite race.
True.
Right now, it's going to be exciting. So High Lonesome on Friday, 6 a.m. So.
I'm very jealous because as we sit here today in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's going to get up to, I think, 106 or something. So headed to the cooler temperatures in Colorado. Very jealous of that. It's going to be awesome. Well, what's number three on your list?
Three favorite race. Oh.
Yeah, number three. What's third place?
Okay, I only picked, actually I did this wrong. I only picked one of each. So I guess we'll start with my favorite race to run. And then I can probably,
you did
band.
You did the favorite to run, to race, and to cruise. Is that how you did?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I was just thinking your top three favorites that you've participated in any way, shape, or form. So,
well, I can vamp, but for number one run, I think it would be obvious if you know me, Cocodona 250. It was unique because it was the first year of the race, so I got to be a part of something brand new. Actually, it's not something I really recommend being part of a first year race because you never know what could happen. But it's from Aero Viper Racing and a veteran crew, so they know what they're doing. It's not without its hiccups, but it Kokanar, obviously my longest race and the toughest test as far as, you know, the challenge, dealing with things I've never had to deal with. So again, it's just very cool to be a part of an inaugural race and watching how it's grown, not just the race, but everything around it. Every year it gets a little bit bigger. It's now, it just completed its third year, and this time I got to watch from home.
And
binge the live stream. So it was just a whole new experience, and I felt special to be a part of the first year and finish. So that's definitely my favorite race to run.
Cocodona 250 is still not a lottery, I think. I think it's you can still get in. If you're ready to run 250 miles, you can sign up today.
Anyone can get in. And I also, there's not any, I don't believe they really have a hard qualifier where you need to do a, you know, a 100-mile distance. Obviously, it's recommended.
It'd be helpful.
But I know several people that signed up without that. So there's no hard qualifiers. Anybody can give it a go. So that's one. I know some of these races that we pick as far as our favorite, we probably don't have the option to just go do it.
Yeah.
But this one right now, just sign up and go for it.
Just pony up the cash.
You
can be part of Cocodona. Yeah. And they have added two other distances. So if you're like, hey, 250 is way too much, they've got a 125 and I think it's a 35.
Yep, Sedona 125 and Elden Crest 35. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. So you can pick your distance, and Aero Viper is on my list here. You'll find out which one here in a second. But they do put on awesome races, very well run, marked, great aid stations. So that's a good one. So Cocodona 250 is Greg's number one. What about you, Melody?
So do you want my number one? My number one.
Greg switched the order. We're just going to go at the top. We're going to go top down, okay. Baby. We're going top down.
Okay. I don't know if this one counts because this was actually a self-supported race. But my favorite race was my first 100 with my husband. We called it Trail to 100, and that's what got us started on our podcast. But we did a marathon while we were dating, got married, did a 50, and then after we were like, well, now we have to do the 100. And it was during 2020. We'd signed up for the Ute 100, but it was canceled. So we were like, we'll just put on our own race. And so we spent the whole summer mapping out a 50-mile loop that we did twice. And we recruited friends and family to come aid station us. And so while we were running the race, we were also directing the race and like managing all of the aid stations and texting everyone back and making sure everyone's where they're supposed to be. And it was our first 100-mile experience. So it was awesome. It was an awesome experience to have all of our friends and family come out and cheer us on and help us out. And we learned so much about ultra running that's helped us in other races. And that's definitely my top favorite running experience, and highly recommend a self-supported race, especially a 50 or 100, because it is fun and there's no cutoffs.
Yeah, there you go. And I was going to say, you can't sign up for this one, but you probably can. Could just go do it, right? Go figure out a track or trail. I know, Coach Greg, you've had a lot of friends that have done self-supported runs out at Irwin Park.
Yep.
For different reasons. And so, I love that, Melody. Go find an area, find a distance, and make it happen.
For sure. You know, it's a lot of work, but it's totally worth it. It's so fun.
I love it. Well, my number one is a little bit, I was going to say Western States, because I'm still on the Western States high. And I think it counts because I did serve there. I certainly did not run it. and I did not crew it, although I would love to do that someday. I did serve there, but I figured that wasn't, I wasn't sure if that was fair or not. So I picked a second number one, and kind of like you, Melody, this was my first ultra race that I ever did, and it was back in 2017. And I really didn't know what I was getting myself into, because I was like, I want to do a 50K. I want to do an ultra distance. And I've done mud runs, so why can't I just do an ultra? And we said, hey, Bandera is drivable, and we've heard good things about it. We knew it at the time was a golden ticket race. It did not make the golden ticket list this year, unfortunately. But it was my first one, and we had a lot of fun. It was probably more vert than we thought we were getting in Texas. We figured this is fairly flat, not the case, not as much vert as others, but certainly a challenging course, lots of rocks, similar to Arizona, actually, when I did Black Canyon. But it's always going to be at the top of my list because it was my first ultra. And then since then, we've been running the Chiapas aid station, as most people know, because we talk a lot about Chiapas. And so I think for those reasons, it's a great course. It's done by Tejas Trails, who do great races as well. And so for those reasons, the Bandera would be at the top of my list of favorite races. And it's, you can sign up, not a lottery, and it's in a good location in the hill country in Texas, like fly into San Antonio if you're looking for a destination race. And I believe in early 2021, it was one of the very first races post-COVID. And so when we did Chiapas, people were flying in from all over the place because they could actually run a real race. And so for all those reasons, it's definitely my favorite. So there you go. Well, what about second place? Or you could, you know, I think Greg's has his own categories. This may be one that you've crewed.
Yep.
What's your next one, Greg?
Yeah, so I had a lot to choose from, and I may have honorable mention. So I'm going to go, since it's my own category, I'm just making stuff up. My favorite race to pace so far, I probably should have picked one I could pronounce, but Ouray. I think the locals pronounce it Ouray 100. So just coming off a hard rock completed. If you watched the live stream, you got to see a lot of the Ouray course in town, and they call it I know Jeff's talked about a lot, the Switzerland of the Americas. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful and it's brutal. It's some of the steepest trails that I've ever been on. And you can just leave the town and in 5 minutes, you're literally on top of it and looking down. And I had the opportunity to pace a friend, Allison Miller, for the race. I think she ended up getting third. She's going to kill me because I got it wrong. But she was really close to the podium either way. I got to spend a lot of time exploring those mountains and seeing that course. It's another one that there is qualifiers that you have to be able to do before you get in, just a certain difficulty of races. But it is something that it's not a lottery, probably because it's really hard and not everyone's really wanting to sign up for it. But it's one of the toughest races that I've seen just as a pacer and a crew. But I am trying to find excuses to go back there just to run. So I'd highly recommend the race. It was super well supported and just a really, really cool scene.
You have heard me talk a lot about Ouray. And I say Ouray. I don't know if that's right or not either. Yeah. I have no clue.
Let's just say Ouray.
Ouray. Yeah. However you pronounce it, it's all beautiful because this is my favorite town in Colorado. As a kid, we would go on road trips in the summer, and we would go through Durango into Silverton. And if you watch Hard Rock, you saw that starts at Silverton, ends at Silverton, goes through Ouray, goes through Lake City, goes through Telluride. But Ouray is my favorite because, like Greg said, it is like little Switzerland carved out of the mountains. It is beautiful. It's got a hot spring. It's got really great restaurants and stuff. So really, that's a good one. I've never done that race or crewed it or even volunteered, but I feel like it needs to be on my list because it is a beautiful area. What about you, Coach Melody? What comes in second for you?
So I also picked a race that I actually paced and crewed, and it was...
I'm the one that didn't follow directions.
So this race, it was the Ute 100, and that's, if you guys have heard of it, it's in the LaSalle Mountains above Moab, right? And my husband ran it, and I crewed him throughout the entire race and then paced in the last 20 miles. And honestly, the prettiest mountains I've ever seen in my life. I feel like you get the perfect mix of, you know, the pine trees and the green, and then also the Moab red rock. The views were just amazing. And honestly, most of the races that I picked were races that I crewed and paced, because, you know, it's so fun to race, but honestly, my fondest memories are the ones that where I was helping someone else get across the finish line. So it was just so awesome being there for my husband and watching him push through hard things and then pace him through the last 20 miles and doing that together. And we still talk about it every day and the cool things we saw. We got stuck in a lightning storm on top of the mountain. That was a little scary, but that's second on my list. It's an awesome race.
And remind us when that one is.
That one is in August.
Okay.
So it's also a hot race. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, my number two, I just did my favorite three. I didn't follow directions very well. Black Canyon, I think, will be there because it was my first buckle race, which is great, belt buckle race. It is a point-to-point. And when I was thinking about a race and working with Coach Greg, and I said, you know, he had done it and highly recommended it. And I think, you know, the point-to-point is so interesting because you don't see the same thing twice. There's a little bit of a down and back at Black Canyon City, but other than like maybe 3 miles of down and back into the aid station, everything's new, everything's different, everything's unique, all similar certainly, but different areas. Like you don't see all the cactus until a certain point. And so yeah, Black Canyon, again, this is an Arrow Viper race, happens in February. We're doing it again this coming year. I'm going to do the 100K again, I believe. I want some vindication. I want to beat my previous time. It was a particularly hot day when we did it. It got up in the low 80s, and there was a pretty high DNF rate. So I'm just glad to have finished, but I would like to get a little bit of payback's not the right word. I think just I want to beat my PR there this coming February, so we'll see if that will happen. So Black Canyon Ultras, there's a 100K on Saturday and a 60K on Sunday. Great, great race. No lottery, anything like that, I believe. So if you're looking for a race early in the year, Bandera in January, Black Canyon in February, two good options. All right, Coach Greg, what's your next one?
Yep. So number three, I picked my favorite race to crew. And this one was easy, and you mentioned it earlier, and it's Western States. I've had the opportunity to crew and pace twice. Still trying to get in, but you know, it's historic. I have awesome memories of getting up super early and beating the elite runners up, because I started out early up the escarpment so we could watch them crest as the sun was coming up. And then obviously, you know, Jeff being on the Auburn track during golden hour and watching the back of the pack fight their way through and just seeing the finish is just absolutely amazing. You know, the first year I went, I obviously wanted to do Western States, and that's why I was getting tickets. But I kind of also wanted to do, I wanted to do Hard Rock more. I was like, I'll get into Western States whenever. But then when you're on the track and you experience golden hour, you definitely want to be back and you want to be a part of it. And it made me want to do it more than anything else, just being there for golden hour. So I'm grateful for the experiences of being able to be there twice. And, you know, the live stream, the last 2 years we've had watching parties just to enjoy the live stream. So we got to see parts of the course that normally would never get to see. So that's made me want to do it even more. So yeah, definitely that would be my favorite one to have ever crewed.
Yeah, I think if you're a trail running fan, ultra fan, you have to put on your bucket list being at the Auburn track during golden hour. That's my single favorite moment, I think, in trail running, was watching, like you said, the back of the pack come in and they're with their family and they're holding hands and there's tears everywhere and some of them start sprinting. You're like, oh my gosh. Please don't
fall. You got an extra special one this year. You got to see that.
I did. Yeah, I got to see the lady that did finish with 20 seconds left and then Lucy's dad who didn't make it but finished 2 minutes late. And man, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, but it was a special moment. So yeah, I think if you're a fan of trail running and ultra running, make it out to Auburn, volunteer. There's some great opportunities to volunteer there at the track and be there for Golden Hour. It was a can't miss opportunity. Definitely. Melody, what about you?
So the next one I picked, this one I crewed at, and it was another race that my husband did. You know, with both of us running, if he runs 100, I'm just automatically crew, and vice versa, right? That's how it goes. So so it was the Scout 100. And honestly, I'm a really big fan of kind of the hole-in-the-wall, like small local hometown races. So this is a Scout 100, and this is in Idaho. And again, beautiful, beautiful scenery, 100 miles. It's about 23, 24,000 feet of climbing. And this race is awesome. My husband and I didn't realize this when we signed up, but it's very much geared towards women. They actually do like pendants. Women get pendants which is awesome because, you know, my husband, he does these 100-mile races and he wears his belt buckles, but, you know, typically women don't wear those. So they have like necklaces or pendants for the woman. And they also did get the buckle because, you know, that's just part of the 100-mile experience.
Exactly.
You know, they also had like feminine hygiene products at all the aid stations. They had like lactation stations and just very, very like catered towards women. And I thought that was super awesome that they did that. And it also was, I've been to quite a few 100-mile races and this was the most crisp, clean, organized race I have ever experienced. They were so on top of it. The volunteers were so on top of it. I was so incredibly impressed. And again, I was crewing my husband and it was just fun to get him through and watch him get through the hard parts, and awesome, awesome experience. And that was just this June. So
yeah, that was pretty recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, in third for me, again, I didn't follow directions. I just did first, second, third. But for me, this is a race I know Greg's very familiar with. It's Grasslands, and it's a local race here in the North Texas area. And I think I love it for a few reasons. One, it's a very runnable course. It is not a lot of vertical. There's a little bit of sand, which kind of, if you aren't aware that there's sand out there, sometimes you're like, oh, why am I slipping around a little bit? But it is a very runnable course. It's done by Blaze Trails, which I think everyone knows is a partner of this show, which we love them because they put on such great events. They've got lots of races around this area. And also, it was one of my first, I think, one of my first trail races ever. Bandera was my first ultra, but I had done the half marathon out there. And there's cows and there's gates. And there's just the kind of this community spirit, this feeling. You can camp out there, you can RV out there, and they've added some distances as well. You can do a marathon. I think you can now, Greg, do a 50 miler and a 50K out there. I think they've maybe added even more.
Not sure. 2024 will be the first year for the 100 miler, and I'll jump in and say for the last 3 years I've helped host one of the aid stations out there, and we'll be out there again. So definitely a great race to support.
That was my last bullet point, was you get to see Coach Greg at the aid station.
We have the best party there.
They do, yeah. So it's a great race. I've talked about it on the show. If you're looking for a race, it's in March. If you're looking for one of those early races, not too hot, not too cold, Grasslands is a good option because there's just a lot of great people out there and a lot of great distances to choose from. Well, there's the three that made our list. Let's talk about some honorable mentions, because I know you guys have done other races that you like that maybe didn't make the top list but would want to mention. Let's start with you, Coach Greg.
Yes, so I have one that I would never run, but it was great to pace through.
I think I know which one you're going to say.
Let's see. It's Badwater. So. Yeah. Again, I paced the same person, Allie Miller, for Badwater, and it's 135 miles of road, and does not sound appealing to me at all, and super hot, although after spending a lot of Texas summers, I thought it'd be worse, yeah. You've heard stories about your shoes melting off if you're standing on the pavement. I don't think that happens anymore. Maybe the shoes are better now than they were 20 years ago from, I guess it was probably Scott Jurek's book. So my shoes didn't melt, but if you did stand on the pavement in the middle of the race, you could feel the heat just rising off of the asphalt. And it was definitely hot. It was actually more scenic than I expected. And there were some pretty good rolling hills. So quite a bit of elevation too. We would alternate 5K legs, so everyone was fresh between three different pacers. So we would just drive ahead about 3 miles, and then someone else would take over. And somehow I ended up getting all the hillier routes tonight, and I got to do the last climb up Mount Whitney, which I'm super, super excited for. So, I mean, that was amazing to see Mount Whitney portal. So really, it's a really cool scene. You just really like to have to want, you just really want to have to run road to be a fan of racing it. But it's also so much harder than crewing a 100-mile trail race, because you're actually on the whole time. We're seeing her every 30, 45 minutes, at least with some of the 100-mile trail races. You know, you see the runner. You get like a 2-3 hour break. You might be driving, but there's a lot of downtime. You can take naps, but I felt like that for the 30 plus hours, we were awake almost the whole time. So much harder to crew, but it's a very cool scene, and it's repeat racers. So there's a definitely kind of family vibe. If you ever get a chance to be a part of it, I highly recommend it.
What about you, Coach Melody? What any honorable mention races you'd like to share?
Yeah, a few. One would be Bryce Canyon. Bryce Canyon 50 was the first ultra that I ever did. I've also paced a lot of my athletes there. Again, super pretty. And that's the first thing that I mentioned about all these races, because that's the first thing that I look at is how pretty is this race? So Bryce Canyon, again, super, super pretty, super well-organized race. And then another one is Dead Horse in Moab. That's in November. That one is also super fun one. They do a 50, a 50K and a half, I believe. And again, super, super pretty. And this one is fun because it's relatively flat. In 50 miles, it's like 4,000 feet of climbing. So it's a really, really fast 50. And also the swag is awesome. So those are two of my favorite races. And I feel like, you know, when I talk about my races, I feel like these are my favorite races because I had really good experiences at them. I was with good people. I had good times. I had good races. You know what I mean? So anyways, for me, those are some great races.
I'm glad to hear you say Bryce Canyon, because I think that's going to be my first 100 miler. I think that's the one we've landed. I had to find a certain time of the year, had to fit right. I think that's a late May race, as I remember, somewhere in May.
Yeah.
So yeah, that may be the first 100-mile attempt. We shall see.
Ooh, I'm excited. For you. That's a good first 100, I think.
Hopefully it's not too tough.
I mean, it's a tougher one for sure, but I feel like you're tough enough.
I guess we'll find out.
One way to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out. I've got two honorable mentions. No one's going to be surprised by one of them, because we talk about Lake Murray a lot. Lake Murray is it's one of the, you mentioned Hole in the Wall, Melody. It's a newer race, and I think it's one that's, I don't say it's underappreciated, perhaps. It's just not as well known, but it's in a really cool area. It's done, again, by Blaze Trails, and I have not actually run this race. I've only been there as volunteer and not really even crew. My son ran it last year, but a lot of fun, just a cool environment. It's kind of got a festival feel to it. A lot of trees. Coach Greg, have you run it yourself?
I have not. I think last year was the third year. They've had rain 2 years and it was really hot the second year, I believe. I did host aid station out there on the second year. And then we had a bunch of athletes race last year in the mud. So I think despite the weather challenges that they've had, it's growing every year, and it should be even bigger next year. And we have a handful, I think, just off the top of my head, we have over 10 athletes racing, a few making their debut 100Ks, 100 milers. So yeah, we'll definitely be out there. It's great choice. There's not a lot of options for long course races in our area, so it's I guess three out and backs with a smaller loop. even though it's out back here. That's about as close as we can get to not repeating a bunch around here. But super cool trail. I mean, if you're local to DFW, it's easy to get up there and do some recon. But yeah, super well done. And Chris and Ann are expecting to blow it up even more this year. It's a really awesome park and cabins for rent. So it makes it easy for logistics and very easy to crew as well. So yeah. Highly recommend.
Yep. October is that race. So check it out. We're doing an official Big Ass Runner meetup there this year. So it'll be fun. My second honorable mention is Rocky Raccoon. This is another Tejas Trails race. And it's just a great course. But I think it made my list because that is where the Beacon of Light, if you've heard that story, I told that story on Trail to 100 with Melody and Jacob. That's where that happened. And so that's always going to have a special place in my heart. When I had to go so bad, saw the Beacon of Light porta potty at the end of the trail. But beyond that, it is a great race as well. Lots of distance options. And that race, I believe, is in February, Greg, somewhere. It's early in the year.
Always the first week of February.
There you go. Coach Greg is like a encyclopedia of ultra marathon knowledge.
I've been there a lot, so I know that day well.
Well, if you're looking for races, hopefully you got some ideas from the coaches today. These are some of our favorites. We would love to hear from you with some of your favorites as well. Coach Greg, Coach Melody, thanks so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise, and thanks for sharing your favorite races.
Thank you.
Of course. Thanks.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Well, as you know, we have amazing partners on this show, and I want to highlight one for you right now, and that is John G. JohnG.com. That's JanJi.com. They have some new arrivals. I was checking out their website, and they've got some cool new stuff going on, pushing me a little bit out of my normal. I'm pretty boring sometimes with my attire. And they've got some cool stuff that I, the Clydesdale, may have to get. So check it out. JohnG.com got some really cool stuff on their new arrivals. And use the code BAR15 and get 15% off. If you need a jacket, shorts, shirts, cap, they actually have some cool trucker caps too. JohnG.com, JanJi, great friend of the Big Ass Runner. Check it out at JohnG.com. Well, as I mentioned in the open, I love a good trail running documentary. Consumed quite a few over the years, and Timmy Time told me about this one called Just 1 Mile. It is a documentary about the 2021 Mid-State Mile. I've captured a few audio clips from the video that I want to share, and I just want you to listen to this first one. This is going to be from Chad Wright. Some of you may know who Chad is. He is quite a character in the trail running community, former Navy SEAL, and he won the race last year. You'll hear more about what the race is if you're curious. You don't know much about what this is. You're going to find out here in a second. But here's a little bit of the flavor of Chad as he talks about his approach to this race.
I have to fulfill this drive within me to strive against something. But what society tells you to do is you should stifle that. You should suppress that. It's not normal for you to want to go out and pit yourself against another human being. That's not right. The most healthy way for me to fill that hole within me is to go out here on the trail in a controlled environment against wonderful human beings that I can strive against for hour upon hour upon hour. If you want to question me, If you want to question my ability, if you want to question who I say I am, if you want to question my mindset, I'm good with that, man. I don't owe you nothing. I don't have to prove myself. I don't owe anyone anything.
Well, that gives you a little flavor of what you're going to enjoy for about 90 minutes over this documentary. And I don't want to give too much away because I want you to watch it. It's really well done. And it's really cool, the stories that they show the race, but they also tell some of the stories of the runners, which I think is so important. You know, on this show, we love telling stories of the Big Ass Runner Herd, why I run inside the herd, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of that happens. I think that's why I liked it so much. It wasn't just the race itself. It was actually the stories behind the runners. You have Greg, who you're going to hear from here in a second. He's going to talk about what the race is. His dad was in the hospital and he had to leave at one point, came back because his dad was doing, but it's a series of ups and downs. You had a kid who'd never finished more than a marathon, who was a plumber, show up and just gutted it. So many great storylines going on throughout this thing. And I'll tell you a second, and I'll tell you now what the tie-in with the Big Ass Runner is. It's actually two tie-ins with the Big Ass Runner. So back on episode number 121, we had Becca Jones on, and she talked to us about FKTs and gave us a little bit more insight into that. And she's a coach. She's an athlete. She is awesome. But also in the interview, she told me about a race that she does on her property. And I didn't put it at the time. I registered it kind of in the back of my mind. And then when I heard about this race, I go, oh, that sounds like a lot like Becca's race. Well, this is Becca's race. Becca and her husband put this race on at their property. And you're going to hear a little bit more about that here in a second and what the race is. So that's one tie-in. And the second tie-in, a big sponsor of this race is Salty Britches. So Amy Tucker and Salty Britches. In fact, I'm pretty sure that Amy told me about Becca. So that's how we got connected. But Salty Britches, you'll see them, their signage there this isn't a highly corporate-y kind of event. This is very grassroots, but Salty Britches is involved. But let's hear a little bit about what the race is all about.
My name is John Cox. I am a race director for the Mid-State Mile. I'm working out what I want to say. This is all of you. You owe it to each other. This is your race. This is your opportunity. Remove if.
Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
All ready.
So we are out here, Becca and John's place, and we are just getting set up.
We put this race on because for a fringe group of runners, a marathon simply isn't far enough. There is a small group of people that want to see just how far they can run and just how much their body can endure.
I mean, everything that I've done has led up to this moment. Doing scary things makes me a better person.
Cheers, boys. Cheers.
Just outside of Franklin, Tennessee is this race called the Mid-State Mile. It's a last man standing format, meaning the race really has no end. At least when you start, you don't know what the end is.
So I keep everything from gels to, you know, electrolyte, salt, even, you know, almond butters, protein, along with ibuprofen, Tylenol, KT tape, headlamps. So never know, plan for the worst.
There aren't many ladies running. This is my first time doing something like this. You never know what you can do unless you actually try. So I'm gonna try.
It's a 1.1 mile loop with 340 feet of elevation gain every mile.
It's just a mile, but 340 feet of elevation gain. It's gonna seem pretty easy at first, but it's gonna catch up to you pretty quickly.
Runners have 20 minutes to complete the loop. If you can't make that cutoff time, if you can't complete the loop in 20 minutes, you're out of the race. And the race goes on until no one is left. I've done challenging things. I've done hard things. I've pushed myself. I've got a resume. I've never done a race like this before.
Yeah, you heard from several different runners there, including Chad and Greg and Billy the Plumber. And it's so many cool characters. And you heard, this is becoming, I think, more popular, the endurance short, hey, last man standing kind of format. And it's really, really interesting. So as you heard Greg said, 1.1 mile, 340 feet of elevation, 20 minutes to finish. If you don't finish in time, you're out. Last man standing. Wild rides, lots of up and down. Don't want to give away too much, but I would, again, certainly recommend this. It's going to cost, it cost me $5 to rent it on Amazon Prime. So it may cost you a little bit. It's not free on Amazon, and I don't believe it's on YouTube, but it is worth the $5 to, in my opinion. Just 1 Mile is the name of it. It's the story of the Mid-State Mile in Franklin, Tennessee, on Becca's property. So cool to have that tie-in. It happens in June. And of course, when I was texting with Timmy Time about this after I saw it, I thought, this is so awesome. We got to do that sometime. He's like, how about next year? So we're thinking about it. We may want to do this next year in 2024. 2023 event is already happened in June, but certainly highly recommend if you enjoy the good trail running documentary. This is a good one. Very, very interesting. Like I said, well done. Lots of great characters and the great Big Ass Runner tie-in. Well, there you go. Just 1 Mile. Check it out. Well, believe it or not, that is the end of episode number 164 of The Big Ass Runner. Thanks to everybody involved in this episode, to Lauren for the intro, Coach Melody and Coach Greg for their insight and favorite races, to, man, I kind of want to give a shout out to Becca Jones for putting on such a cool race. Check it out. Check out the documentary Just 1 Mile. And of course, we want to give a big thanks to our audio engineer who makes the sound so good, Steve Sarsaparilla Saunders. And our trail tip of the week comes to us from our friend Sandal Running Sam. Kind of goes along with the open when I was talking about, do you bring some sort of personal protection with you? And he says to pay attention to everything, your surroundings, the beauty around you. Stay in the moment. Pay attention to everything. Thank you for that, Sam. Well, with that, get out there, hit those trails, and keep running your asses off. In segment number two, Timmy Time told me about, let me back up a little bit. You can do a little editing there, Steve. When you go out for a run, be it the trails, I've captured a few video clips I want to share. If you need a jacket, shorts, shoes, not shoes. If you need a jacket, their rain jacket is the best. If you need a jacket, holy cow, this is embarrassing. If you need a jacket, you need shorts, shoes, not shoes, Jeff.